the sheep and the goats. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was ill, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you as a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you ill or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was ill and in prison, and you did not look after me." They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or needing clothes, or ill or in prison, and did not help you?" He will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life.
Thanks, John. Before we begin to unpack that challenging passage, we're going to sing again, "The Splendor of the King, How Great is Our God." Please do stand if you're able to.
Thank you.
Please do be seated. We've got a short video now as a reflection, and band, if you'd like to take a seat, then feel free to.
If I was hungry and you gave me something to eat.
I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink.
I was a stranger and you invited me in.
I needed clothes and you clothed me.
I was ill and you looked after me.
I was in prison and you came to visit me.
And you clothed me.
And you fed me.
And you came to visit me.
And you gave me something to drink.
And you looked after me.
And you invited me in.
As we start to unpack the passage from Matthew's Gospel, I actually thought it would be very good for me to show you this photo to start, if I can have the PowerPoint up. There we go. I heard someone say scruffy. It makes me very happy inside. Now, I believe him to be the most handsome dog in all of the world. And I'm sure that some of you, at least here, are in agreement. But I'm sure there's quite a few people here this morning that are not dog people. You're in fact more of a cat person. You might think that cats are better than dogs. Well, my first point in this morning's talk, and this is very, very important if you're taking notes, is that you're wrong, and dogs are better than cats. So write that down, okay? I've given the people that are normally in reference, have got a sheet of paper, and there's space for them to make bullet points. So there we go. That's your first one there. Dogs are better than cats. Now, I'm sure here many people wouldn't actually be in agreement with me on this, but there can be no denying that in our world there are people who are cat people and there are people who are dog people. There are people who love football and there are people who love rugby. Some people keep a pen and paper by their landline, whilst other people don't even know what a landline is. There's breakfast people and there are people who can't remember what breakfast is. There are Waitrose shoppers and there are Aldi shoppers. There are sheep people and there are goat people. And each person here knows exactly what category you fit into. Well, at least you do for the first five categories I shared, maybe not this last one. Matthew 25, verse 32, all the nations will be gathered before him and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Now, Jesus' words from this passage that we've heard earlier make me feel a bit uncomfortable inside. It's a passage that, on first glance, talks of judgment and the emphasis on good works. But that's something that, as I was a kid, I was brought up to know didn't cause me to be saved. But then what on earth is this passage saying? And if I was to ask the question, so what am I, Lord? Am I a sheep or am I a goat? What answer am I going to get? Well, you might be wondering what all this has to do with the harvest anyway. Well, firstly, this is the passage that BMS have suggested to church leaders that we speak on today. So thanks, BMS, for that. But when I read through more closely, I see this passage as speaking right into the modern day heart of our harvest celebration. And it really speaks into the crisis that we've already heard a bit about this morning in South Sudan and will continue to do so over lunch. Now, to give a little bit of background to this parable, it occurs at the end of a lengthy teaching that Jesus gave in a private conversation with his disciples in the final week before his crucifixion. In response to their questions about the end of the age, Jesus outlined the signs of his coming, focusing on their needs to be prepared, responsible, ready, productive, and living lives of compassion towards the needy, which is what this passage primarily focuses on. And to bring home the impact of his challenge, Jesus made use of three parables: the parable of the 10 bridesmaids, the parable of the talents, and today's parable, the parable of the sheep and goats. So we come back to my original question to you: am I a sheep or am I a goat? To help us answer that question, I think it's important to break down how Jesus distinguishes from one to the other to get to the heart of this parable. And hopefully by the end of this morning, we can all be sure that we know which one we are and which one we want to be. Now, clearly, Jesus wants us to be like the sheep. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world." This is the destination that God has prepared for us. God loves us, and that means each and every one of us, not just the right kind of people. His desire for justice to be carried out is immense, and he wants Christians to be at the center of communities who care for those who are in need. He wants us to join him on his right side as a sheep. And Jesus even goes one step further in helping us to understand the basic needs of society by listing them off. In verse 35, "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." And we might turn around and say, "Okay, Jesus, so far, so good. These are exactly the folks that we're trying to reach out to through our mission opportunities, both today with the food bank donations that we're giving, and beyond that with our world mission team and our own individual giving. And don't get me wrong, we're doing a whole lot more than most of the people who are outside the church. But when I read this passage, I think it's going one step further. Because verse 40, it says this: "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." When you see another person in need, do you treat them as if they were Jesus? There are all sorts of stories that Jesus told that show us how we should love one another. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said that we should love our enemies. When the lawyer asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" Jesus told the story of the Good Samaritan. This passage is showing us that the least of society, whether in this country or abroad, are the people that we as Christians should be reaching out to. We should look upon them as Jesus did, created in his own image. This social justice concept is written all through the Bible. This idea that as Christians it's our duty to look out for the hungry, the thirsty, the homeless, those who are cold, sick, persecuted, flows all through our Bibles. And here we are presented with the reason why. "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Living out this passage from Matthew 25 challenges us to see the world as God sees it, to look hard at the need and injustice and see the things that break God's heart. But just as importantly, we need to see ourselves as God sees us, as God's handiwork. You know, Jesus has called us to this critical mission in the world, and every one of us was made to join in with that mission. And I'm sure if you've read your Bible at all, you'll have seen that ordinary people were chosen to be part of God's plan to change the world. But if we're only willing to go halfway into this mission, if we want to stand back as the world moves around us, then a warning is given. And I'm only going to briefly touch on what it means to be a goat, as I think by now you probably understand that it is pretty much the opposite of what a sheep is. Perhaps some of us take this approach, warned against in verse 34. "They also will answer, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or needing clothes, or sick, or in prison, and did not help you. Maybe you, like the disciples, are thinking, with kind of thinking like, wow, if I'd only known it was you, God, then I'd have gladly helped you. But I thought it was just some common person who wasn't worth helping, or they don't really need my help, do they? Now, I'd hope that that's not the case, but it gets you thinking about the people that we see who are in need, doesn't it? Verse 45, he will reply, truly, I tell you, whatever you did not do for me, for the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Now, some people over the years have used this as an argument to say that good deeds are important for us to get to heaven. And on first glance, it kind of seems that way when we read it. But when we place it into the whole context of the Bible, when we look at the other parables that Jesus told, it becomes clear that the intent of Jesus in telling this parable was not to talk to his disciples about potential future persecution, but rather to warn them about the priority of showing mercy and caring for those who are far less fortunate than we are. We see that this passage is reaffirming the importance of being in a right relationship with God, filled with his Spirit, and being fully committed to serving his cause. So knowing Jesus' words and understanding this parable, I come back to the opening question I posed. Are you a sheep or are you a goat? Well, if you're a goat, I'd urge you to sharpen up. Goats find themselves quite happily able to live on their own, but they can never be a sheep. They'll never have the fellowship of a flock, just like you're a part of this morning, and they can never live under the constant attention and protection of a shepherd. But if you are a sheep, or you're really wanting to be a better sheep, then I'd urge you to open your eyes to the world around you even more than you're already doing. Become aware of the needs around you. Understand the needs of our local community as well as our global village, especially of those who are worse off than we are. Don't bury your head in the sand or become immune to the challenges that people face daily. We only have to turn on the news for this to feel like it's an impossible task, though, to be looking out for the last, the least, and the lost. Conflict is raging in Syria, the Yemen, and as we now understand, in South Sudan. And believe it or not, there are more refugees globally today than there have been since World War II. Not a week goes by without us hearing of terror attacks and mass shootings, illness, viruses, and floods are spreading. The news coming out of Spain this morning is that there's mass devastation from flash floods. And close at home, we see gang violence on the up. There's murders in nearby cities and a food bank that is struggling to keep up with the massive demands that are being placed on it. But that's not all there is to know about the world. The New York Times columnist Nicola Kristof wrote about this in a special recent column that was entitled The Best News You Don't Know. And he said this: historians may conclude that the most important thing going on in the world in the early 21st century was a stunning decline in human suffering. As I read about the ongoing conflict in South Sudan, I read of the work that BMS World Mission have been doing to reduce the suffering of those affected by conflict, in providing food for the hungry, shelter, sustainable crops for the internally displaced, giving out and repairing wheelchairs for those with disability and mobility issues. They weren't doing it to make Christians out of those people they were serving. That might be a byproduct, but that's not their primary aim. They were doing it because these words from Matthew 25 rang true for them, to see Jesus in the least of these. Without people responding with the love of Matthew 25, we don't know what would happen to the people affected by conflict in South Sudan. I highly doubt we'd be hearing of projects to get them back on their feet. Much like the Good Samaritan tale, I imagine they probably would have been left at the side of the road. And bringing it closer to home, I really hate the fact that food banks exist. I really, really do. I wish they didn't have to exist. But the reality is that they do, and they are very much needed by our local community. It's amazing the display that we have here. And it's amazing to know that all of this food will be given to those who need it most in our area. But I'd hope that this morning prompts you to think about your own values and lifestyle. Where do you spend your time and resources? Why not make this morning, this Sunday, the first of many Sundays when you bring two cans with you to church? It's wonderful that we do this every year, but the need remains even when it isn't our harvest celebration. Now, unfortunately, like a few weeks ago when I gave you a rubbish talk, I'm not going to go through all the different ways that you can be looking out to live a life as is laid in Matthew 25. But if this is something that you want to do more of, then go away from here and pray. Pray fervently that God would show you what he wants of you. Look at the opportunities locally, do some research, and find out how you can serve and seek out those who are the least of these. As I come into land this morning, I want to share with you a little story. This story is about the man that you can see on the screen now. He was in the 4th century, and his name is Martin of Tours. And he was a Roman soldier who became a Christian as he came across a beggar. With no money to hand, Martin had removed his worn and frayed cloak. He tore it in two and gave half of it to the grateful beggar. That night, he had a dream in which Jesus came to him, wearing half of the Roman soldier's cloak. An angel asked Jesus, "Where did you get that cloak, Lord?" And Jesus replied, "My servant Martin gave it to me." What can I expect to hear from Jesus when I face him on the day when the Son of Man comes in glory? I hope that I'll be one of the sheep that hears his voice with faith. And I pose the same question to you this morning, as I have done all the way through. Are you a sheep or are you a goat? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this parable presented to us this morning. We thank you for the message it gives us to look out for those who are hungry and thirsty, for those who are homeless and experiencing poverty, and to look out for those who are poorly persecuted or facing difficulties at this time. Lord, help us to see you in every situation and to focus fully on the mission that you have set before us. In your precious name, amen. I'd like to invite the band back up now. As we sing our final hymn, which encapsulates so much of the theme that we've thought about this morning, Beauty for Brokenness. Please do stand if you're able to, as we sing this wonderful hymn.
Sun rises to sun.
Let's ask for God's blessing, and this is taken from Psalm 67. May we be blessed, and may we serve God wholeheartedly, and with unity reflecting his goodness back to him in praise, so that our neighbours would see his character and his love for the world. Amen.